according to Luke.
Jesus passed through the towns and the villages, teaching as he went and making his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, will only a few people be saved?" Jesus answered them, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. After the master of the house has arisen and locked the door, then will you stand outside knocking and saying, 'Lord, open the door for us.' And he will say to you in reply, 'I do not know where you are from.' And you will say, 'We ate and drank in your company, and you taught in our streets.' And he will say to you, 'I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers.' And they will be wailing and grinding of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourself cast out. And people will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and will recline at table with the kingdom of God. For behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last." Sisters and brothers, the gospel of the risen Lord. So before we sit, I just invite you to turn to someone next to you and say, "Hello, my name is Chris." And I'd like you to think before you say that, where have you been or where have you experienced good news this past week or so? Where has someone or something happened that lifted your spirit? Or where did you do something or say something that lifted the spirits of others? So we're going to say, "My name is Chris. And in the last several days, this happened to me." Turn to someone you either don't know or know. "Hello, my name is Chris." If you have to walk across the aisle, that's okay. "During the last several days, when did I experience something that lifted me up? Good news. When did I experience, or when did I bring good news to others?" Maybe it's the person next to you that lifted your spirit. Your friend, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your spouse. Where did you experience good news? When were you lifted up? When did you lift up someone else? Anyone willing to share one or two of the good news that you shared or heard? What lifted you up, or who did you lift up? What was the good news that you heard or shared? So your mom had surgery, and it kind of brought your family together. And you're excited. And mom is okay? Okay, that's good news too. Okay. Good news. Things that lifted you up, or you helped lift someone else up. Good news. Way in the back here. I'll get my marathon shoes on here. Yes? So her son went to camp, and he got connected to God, and he's actually running video tonight. Hello, video. Okay, that's pretty rapid. Find God video, okay. Other people that either were experienced good news or were sharers of good news. Okay, we'll take a couple more, and then we'll move along.
One that I told, but a dear friend of mine who's a priest met with Pope Francis. And he thanked him for the opportunity to study the women being diaconate, potentially.
You don't want me to say that out loud, do you? No, I'm just kidding.
I'm just kidding, yes, no.
So a friend of hers who's a priest met with St. Francis, and they had a conversation that included the possibility of ordination of deacons in our Catholic Church.
Women,
excuse me, thank you. Yeah, we already have deacons, yes, thank you. One more?
over here. I know the video people are going to be really mad at me tonight. Welcome. There you go.
Thank you. Yesterday I went to a training, and Friday and yesterday I went to a training that was attended by mostly Christian women who are volunteers to work with the young victims of human trafficking. And they were led to do this just by following Christ. And so that really lifted my spirit.
So she was at a training yesterday for young women who have been victims of human trafficking. And there was a training for that, and she was really lifted up by that. The scriptures today invite us into the good news. And they invite us in the good news in a way that, for us, it's much different than at the time of the Hebrew text and Jesus' time. So they were talking about like going between here and Alhambra. That was the extent of their world. Maybe they'd venture to Pasadena. And maybe once in your lifetime you'd get to Arcadia or downtown LA. They're talking about in the first reading in the Hebrew text about the good news being spread in a fairly small part of what we know today as the world. We live in a time where we are one of the first or second generations that can stand back from outer space and look at the world in one whole piece. That was not their experience. Their world was very limited by walking, by horse, by a cart. So their world, when they talk about spreading the good news and spreading God's love and spreading this God Yahweh who loved his people, it was a pretty limited place and world that they were talking about. And then when we see Jesus talking about the good news, and he's talking about there are people that will come from east and west and north and south, he's not talking flying on an American or United airline or coming from a shuttle spaceship from outer space. He's talking about someone from San Fernando venturing all the way down here, and someone from Long Beach following the river up and finding us a few weeks or months later. But in that worldview, there was this sense that if we miss the good news of God in front of us, other people from other places will come and experience the good news of God. Other people will come and say, "Didn't you see the good news that's right in front of you?" One of the gifts of the Olympics is the experience of realizing that people from around the world, from all different faith traditions, language experience, cultural worlds, worlds that are not yours or mine, but we live on the same globe, and when we get together and we allow sports or some other kind of thing that breaks down the barrier, we can see that we are blessed. We are unique in our own way, but others are unique and blessed too. Those great moments in athletic history in which a runner is running and someone gets bumped and falls, and another human being who could have said, "Tough luck," stops and lifts that person up. Those moments in our own lives, when our own experience, where someone could have driven by us when we had our gas out or a flat tire, and someone stopped and said, "Can I be of help?" That person that's new in school, that just out of sync with all the little details of where the bathroom is or where to pick up books or things like that, and someone says, "Are you new here? Let me help you. Let me show you where things are around here." Those little things that move our spirits to be open to God's good news. We've had a series of several tragic accidents that have led to some very small children being at our county hospital. And during the last 10 days, I have been so humbled at watching the wonderful care of these physicians as they maneuver what they can and what they can't do, and how they can be present to the families, and how the families are invited to be part of the conversation. And one of the good news is in that was one of our chaplains has been spending extraordinary time with these families. And it's such a blessing, and you can see by his being drained so much that he's been giving and sharing the presence of good news in the midst of very tragic situations. In the last several weeks, as the church endorses Prop 62 to end executions in our state and to oppose 66, we've seen more and more of our religious, Jewish, Muslim, Christian, of all different faiths, beginning to hear about this and saying, yes, we're one on this life issue that says that all life is sacred and we don't have a right to take it, even in the midst of someone who might be guilty. And in this process, to also recognize that there are even innocent on death row, and the effects of the cost drain from other resources in our world. And so sometimes we see good news when we see in the policies that are before us and around us that other people begin to see, like this woman over here, that when we deal with human trafficking, that it is not their issue, it's our issue, because our globe and our world is so small nowadays. The responsorial psalm tells us to go out and tell the good news. And so we as people of faith are asked daily by the gospel of Jesus, you know, am I aware of the good news that surrounds me? Or do I allow the negative things around me to just overwhelm me? They are there, and we can't deny it, and we need to pray for that, and we need to work to end those terrible things that are happening in our world. We definitely need to be part of the solution. But we also need to be instruments of this good news, both from the Hebrew ancient text and our Christian text. Now, the second reading reminds us that when we spread good news, there will be moments when we will be disciplined. We will experience a struggle, a cross, a pain. Those people that made it to the gold, let alone the silver or bronze, did not get there by just standing around and saying, I'm going to fly down to Rio and give it a shot. They have been working years, hours each day to make sure that each of those 9 seconds of running or 3 hours of running a marathon or working with a team for whatever the sport, they were working hard. And in the midst of that process, they were clearly disciplined. You can see that in their bodies when they have patches here and there or kind of red spots in different parts, all that kind of stuff. It reminds us that it was not easy to get where they were at. And we know that's true whether it's in sports or arts or manufacturing or any of the work, the school work we have. It takes discipline. And sometimes we make it and sometimes we miss it. We flunk the test or we don't do as well as we thought. I always worry tonight about the athletes from around the world who got there because they were wonderful and amazing. And they just happened not to hit the 1, 2, or 3 slots, and that's the only ones we tend to hear about. But those other athletes were excellent swimmers and all the other sports. They were amazing in their own right and in their own country. They just happened to miss it by a half second or 2 minutes, or they dropped the baton or whatever it was that happened. We are all invited this week to be aware of the good news that's happening in our lives and in our world. We are invited to see the amazing things that happen in our name, whether it be through Catholic Relief Fund in parts of the world, or whether it be in our government being done in the context of hurricane disasters or fires that are going on. Amazing thing done by our first responders in the fires, on the streets of our cities, and for other countries. We are invited to see, witness to, and then be instruments of good news. So I invite us to pause. Where can I bring good news this week? Whom can I bring good news to? Could be the person that you live with, someone down the street, someone on a text or an email or a phone call. It could be in the midst of conversations about some injustice that's going on in the world, whether it be human trafficking or the death penalty or something like that. And we become the voice of good news that says, wait, There's another way. Jesus invites us to realize that at times we are going to be the ones that are going to come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and come to that table and be welcomed at that table of God. Because we have received good news. We have been instruments of good news. May we be conscious during the rest of our liturgy. Where can we in our American world, as well as in our global world, in our Catholic universal world, where can we be instruments of good news? And so, I invite us to sing our psalm response as a way to connecting and to reminding us the good news we've received here in church is not meant to be kept, but it's meant to be shared.
Go.